Welcome to Spiritual Fertility. I am your host, Allison Buckland. I am a mother to a miracle and a highly intuitive and transformational teacher, coach, and healer. I believe that each of our life experiences shape us, providing valuable lessons from which we can transform, expand, and evolve in this lifetime. When we are armed with the right tools to bring about our own self-awareness and shine a light upon some of our most darkest experiences, we then begin to experience an awakening and rebirth, a reinvention of ourselves and the conscious awareness to take action and co-create the path ahead. Join me each week and listen in to hear my guests' impactful stories, along with their empowering tools to ignite and inspire. I'm providing a supportive, fun, and collaborative space to collectively initiate and motivate change within you, spark your curiosity, and bring hope and inspiration to your own soul's path. I'm excited for you to join me and see what we can discover. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Spiritual Fertility. This is a really exciting one for me. The person that I am having a conversation with is somebody that is so special and someone also that I met through LinkedIn, but we happen to live in the same city. She's played an instrumental part in my spiritual journey through several different ways, and we'll get into that as we converse and bring this conversation to you for all those that are listening. And it's really about setting the intention for living in your values. We didn't talk about an intention prior to hitting record, but I cannot help but introduce this person to you without bringing forth that intention, that of living in your values, understanding yourself, understanding your values. I didn't even know or take the time to understand what my values were until I came across Mary Beth Hyland's Insight Timer course on knowing and living in your values. And I was like, what are values? And it's really set me on this path to self-awareness and knowing and living in what my values are. So without further ado, Mary Beth Hyland, please introduce yourself and then we'll get into your story.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm just so happy to be here. Allison, you're such a divine soul sister in my journey to alignment. And it's so great to be talking with you and a part of your community here. My background, I've had my business Spark Vision for almost a decade now, which is wild to think about that. It feels like it was just the other day I started. And I really began my business out of the fact that prior to that, I was helping people with young professional engagement. And so everybody knew me as this like millennial whisperer. It was the funniest thing. It was so weird. But I used to run young professional programs. And so it had incredible engagement. It actually became the global best practice model for all of the United Ways where I used to work. So I was consulting and helping people all over the world with how to cultivate and develop long-term relationships with philanthropists of a certain age. Then I went out on my own and I was like, I'm never going to do that. I don't want to do that. It's not about somebody's age. It's because they're a human and we have so much in common as humans, right? But what did I do? I went out and did that because that's what everybody knew me for and that they had a budget for and they were happy to invest in my work. And so what I did is that before I left, I was clinically diagnosed with a work addiction. So I was to the point of working completely around the clock. I had really terrible insomnia. I was personally hosting up to 5 events a month for the program that I ran, not including all the ones that I went to support all the people that I knew that I was nurturing 5,000 volunteers. So it was an experience where I just never felt enough. I never felt like there was enough time. I never felt like I was achieving enough. I never felt like I was doing enough. There was this experience where like I literally won like Innovator of the Year in Maryland. I won all these accolades. I got great promotions. Everybody thought I was a superstar, but I was dying inside. Like I was dying. So when I went out on my own, I said, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore because I get to control it, right? I get to control. I'm my own boss now. And what did I do? I just repeated the same cycle, kind of like what I did with client work. I just kept doing what I knew because in its own way, it quote unquote worked in the sense of I made a lot of money. Okay. But that was not what worked for my spirit or my soul or was a reflection of my values. It was actually a reflection of my father's values that never resonated with me. And my father was my abuser. And so here I was continuing to abuse myself by creating this story and these conditions in which success was, I was qualified for success, that I'd actually made it. And then I learned through the process of healing and getting professional support and a whole bunch of different spiritual support around my own mental health and journey around self-love, and really just hated myself deeply, even though I had all these professional accomplishments. And so it was an opportunity for me to uncover what are my authentic core values, not the ones that everybody else wants me to have because I'm good at them, or because, you can make a lot of money when you activate them, but rather who was I in my essence, without anybody else's domestication or conditions? And how can I not only create a business that's a reflection of those values, but also help other people and their organizations to do the same? And so that's what I'm so grateful that, we did that pivot pretty quickly a few years into the business, was then all about values work, helping people with their values. And so now here we are today, almost a decade later. I've written a book around knowing and living your values at work. You mentioned you've gone through my course. I have an incredible opportunity to coach people and organizations all over the world to get in alignment with their values and to really do that in a way that is authentically in alignment with my own sense of inner harmony and well-being and purpose.
That is, it's so succinct, of course, when you retell the story as you've done. But I know that process had to be a difficult one, right? There's like the ups and downs of n understanding yourself and like that really, that discovery. What stuck out when you were saying that discovery, and I think I can relate to, and many people will relate to, that in an attempt or because we don't know ourselves yet, we live out what we think other people would want us to do or be, or even subconsciously, certainly living the way that we've been taught.
Exactly. And loved, right? So, like, I received love only when I performed in a certain way, And so it was like this deep conditioning of, like, oh, high achieving, high performing, that means lovable. That means worthy. Anything below that is not lovable and is not worthy.
Yeah, wow. That's really insightful to think about. I would love to, because you touched on, and we'll talk about like your book certainly and your course, but I am certainly intrigued and have benefited from your spiritual practices. Talk a little bit about what you've done and what led you on the, because you mentioned in your spiritual practices getting in tune with yourself, but the shamanism and the fun thing. I happen to, if you are watching this on YouTube, you'll see I have a giraffe as my background. And this was many years ago. I saw that Mary Beth and her husband James were doing a power animal ceremony. And I was so intrigued. And so I signed up to work with them to find my power animal. And it was just this wonderful experience. And my power animal is a giraffe. And it's really funny because in that discovery, I then went back and found that there was this like book about this giraffe who was named Nasala, which is my name spelled backwards. Like as a kid, there was this giraffe that's always been with me. And now there's a giraffe everywhere in my life. Like I just dressed up in my giraffe costume for school last week for pajama day because there's always giraffes. And that's thanks to Mary Beth and James. So talk a bit about your ceremonies and your training and your spiritual, because you have a very deep spiritual background and involvement. And yes, we are soul sisters for sure. We're definitely connected in a way that you can't really describe in words, but you just know. So I'm excited to hear. I'm excited to hear about your spiritual journey.
Yeah, so it's interesting because if you would have asked me this just a decade ago, or even less, maybe 8 years ago, I would have told you I wasn't spiritual at all. In fact, it didn't resonate with me when I did my core values. Spirituality went in the does not resonate category. And so it's really incredible to feel the shift. And it really all opened for me. The shift happened because James, you mentioned my husband a moment ago, he was diagnosed with spinal stenosis and degenerative disc disease. And when he went to the doctor and they did his MRIs and everything and X-rays, they said, "You have the spine of somebody who's 80 years old with the disease." And he at that time was in his late 20s. And so it was a really scary thing. It was a really scary experience. And he was set up to have like a series of surgeries. And even with the series of surgeries, he likely was going to wind up in a wheelchair. So I was literally like looking up how to make your home wheelchair accessible. It was to that level of like, oh my gosh, I didn't sign up for this. What is going to happen? How are we going to make it? And James, being an incredible researcher, he just started to research what do the richest people in the world do that have this disease. And so that started to open it up to things like transcendental meditation, which is a mantra-based meditation. It had science and research shown to actually regrow the tissue around the spine. And so he was bringing these things to me from a scientific standpoint, right? And so we started there. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll learn with you. Why not? And that was the beginning, was through transcendental meditation. And it was super powerful. In fact, I got huge awarenesses within just the first week of learning how to meditate that I had been struggling with for a long time. And then we kept kind of following this journey, specifically around his spine. Like his spine was the reason we were even considering these other modalities of healing. And so he had heard for a long time about ayahuasca, which is a plant medicine. And there also was science that showed that this had the power to support the healing of his spine. And so originally he was just going to go on his own because it's a very intensive experience. It's not like something that you would just do on a weekend or go to a concert or something like that. It's not that kind of plant medicine. It is a deep inner journey. There is purging involved. There is a lot of visions that come through. It's a very sacred ceremony. And so it was through that we went through it for a week to Costa Rica and worked with shamans over a week. And I had the most profound spiritual experiences to date, still in my entire life. And it was the type of experience where you walk in as one person and you leave as someone else. And there was no way anybody could ever tell me that spirituality wasn't real after that. It was just, I saw it with my eyes open. I mean, I've witnessed the most beautiful healing within myself, within others, thanks to this plant medicine and the shamans that were supporting us in the experience. And so that's actually what got us on our own journey to being students of shamanism. And then we found the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, which is a wonderful, accessible resource to people who are interested. Highly encourage people to check it out if they're interested in learning more. And you can take classes and learn from shamans around simple things. Like the first thing I learned was like how to engage with a rock and to do rock readings to get information and wisdom for yourself by engaging with nature through rocks. So it was stuff like that that like in the past would have been like, that's so ridiculous, you know? And then I was like, oh my gosh, this rock gave me all the answers. And then over time, you know, as years went on, we elevated to other experiences, one of which was learning how to go on power animal ceremonies and hold power animal ceremonies for others, which is what we had the gift to do with Allison. And really is a phenomenal experience for anybody who's not familiar with power animals. There is a difference between power animals and spirit animals. Power animals are specifically to call on when you're feeling powerless, meaning like you're scared, you're afraid, you're worried, you're concerned, any kind of like when you're in a low vibration energy. A power animal is something that you call on to support you in getting through and getting to the other side, to embrace your power, to come back to your power. And so in the journey, in the process of having the ceremony, you then are told about what that experience was like. James typically is the one who goes on the shamanic journey. And then, so it's very much like a guided meditation, but not guided in the sense of somebody's telling you where to go. It's just you're going on a spiritual journey within yourself on somebody else's behalf. So he did that on Allison's behalf and then came back and shared the story of how the giraffe came to be. And then you learn about the qualities of the giraffe, the meaning of giraffe, how you can call on giraffe, how you can support yourself in that. And my power animals, I have two. One is the bee and the other is a deer. And so anytime that I'm feeling really like, oh my gosh, I need extra support today, I always call on my power animals to be there with me. So it's a wonderful experience for people who are open, right? For some people, they might hear it and think like, that is totally insane. I'm glad that you have a little like imaginary land for yourself. And I get that. That's fine. I would have been there 5 years ago, 10 years ago, probably, very different into receiving this kind of information. But today, it's fully ingrained in my belief system, that it's not like a nice idea, it's the truth.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, for people who are listening and hearing that, yes, there may be some that are like, yeah, no. I mean, most likely if somebody's listening to spiritual fertility, they are open to
They're open.
spirituality and the different things, but there are so many aspects to spirituality and to understanding yourself and finding these guides and finding the power animals and finding folks like you and James that can facilitate these things or learning yourself to do it. I mean, you mentioned that you can learn different ways to do that, and it's funny, I'm just picturing you like in this rock or just really having that be like the not the vehicle, the like conduit almost to like listen to your guides and yourself and understand yourself more. And if that works, amazing. Yes. And those are those little tidbits that we can get on our spiritual path and on our spiritual journey. And so, and thank you for sharing and being open to sharing your plant medicine journey too, because that is something that's not for everyone, but can be that.
Right. And I would not recommend it for everyone.
No, intense.
You need to be very, you need to be in a place within yourself where you feel fully confident that this is what you want to move forward in. It is not something to go into lightly. And a lot of times, I think it's become more like popular from a sense of people knowing about it and it becoming more commonplace for people to talk about it. And that's wonderful. And it's also a sacred ceremony and tradition that should be honored through Indigenous peoples who are supporting those experiences, and really respecting the plant in that way. So I'm very, very, very grateful to have had those experiences. And I'm also grateful that I don't know that I don't think I ever will do that again, because like I got the medicine for myself from that experience, and it was so extreme that I just was like, that's it, I did it, now it's complete. Maybe one day in the future it'll speak to me again, but I really encourage anybody on a spiritual journey to tune in to different ways that you can receive that, whether that's something really extreme like ayahuasca or if that's something really beginning like cannabis.
Yeah, to help with that awakening. And it's interesting. I find now, I mean, maybe because have been and on my spiritual waking and have walked through some big moments in my journey, I find that it's these type of topics and spirituality and plant medicine and different shamanism and witches and mysticism and all of those things are becoming more accessible and I don't want to say popular, but to me, it's easier to talk about, right? And at the same time, you do have to be mindful have trust in the person that you are working with or finding support in and understanding because yeah, I mean, just to be mindful of that, like just not everybody out there are, it is becoming more popular and mainstream, but just that caution to just make sure that there is an alignment of values there, and that you have that trust with the person that you are trusting in and walking that path with to find guidance from.
Well said.
Yeah. Also, I want to, okay, so this is just super fun. Talk about your quest to be a cowgirl because you do stand in your power and walk your path and walk what you see for yourself. And from my perspective, looking at, I mean, it's very brave to stand in and walk your path and choose your path and be like, yes, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And you've taken that to a step where, talk about your quest to be a cowgirl and what you have planned for your life.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Yeah, it's interesting because it was like always, it was always this way, but yet I put a blinder on for so long. So since I was a very little girl, I mean, I think the youngest I was 2 or 3, my first visit out to Idaho with my great uncle's ranch. And he was a cowboy by profession, and he was also a master woodworker, and he has the most beautiful cabin that he completely redid himself. And I would go out there, and I lived in Washington, D.C., so like right in the heart of the city. And then to go out to a 100-acre ranch where there was no TV, no internet, you know, back then there wasn't internet anyway, but there was no, you know, there you were really out in nature. And it was the total opposite of being in the city. I loved it from the time I was a little girl. My mom always tells stories about how at the rodeo, I couldn't help but like fall in love with all the cowgirls that were in their competitions. And I insisted on having a cowgirl hat, and I got back and I got these white fringe boots, and she said I wouldn't take them off. Like, didn't matter how hard she tried. I was wearing them well past when they fit me. And so it was an experience that then led me to start horseback riding as a kid, not competitively, but more for fun. I'd go to like summer camps and things like that. And then I broke my tailbone, not riding separately, but I had told myself, that was in middle school, I had told myself that I couldn't ride anymore because I had a broken tailbone. So I like literally just completely stopped for 20 years. And then as an adult, after my uncle passed, he left the land to my mother, who's leaving it to me. I was out there by myself, and I heard these voices on the property. And when you're that remote and you hear voices on your property, it's an immediate like alert, trespassers. You know, Idaho is definitely a state that you protect your own land kind of situation, which is not really my style. Like, I don't know how to do that. But I got out the binoculars and I wound up watching this beautiful cattlewoman move cows across our mountains that they were allowed to use our range. And she was with her daughter and a dog. And I just watched this beautiful teamwork happen in getting these animals calmly and lovingly to where they needed to be. And something just like this huge, like a lightning bolt went through my body to like, pay attention. This matters. And so I was like, all right, I don't know who that is or how I'm going to do this. I don't even know if I can get on a horse. It had been 20 years. But I think I need to know her, and I need to follow her around for a day. A year later, her name is Cheyenne. Cheyenne lovingly embraced me and told me that no, I could not follow her around for the day, but I could work with her, and that the work would start immediately. So I'm extremely fortunate and grateful that I have a loving soul sister in her who is also just like one of the most established and skilled cattlewomen that I've ever met. And she's taught me how to herd cows and to move them across the river and over the highway into the mountains, being a part of a team in that way. And it really just got me re-energized and alive around, this is something I love. Do I want to actually quit my job and get cows and do this? No, but this is something that I love, that feels like it's a part of me. It feels like a part of my past lifetimes. I've experienced this. And then when I came back to Baltimore, because at the time I was just going for like 10 days a year. And when I got back to Baltimore, I said, okay, I need to start doing this again. And so I took lessons again. I started riding again. I started riding bareback and bridleless, meaning without a saddle and without a bridle. So just you and the horse. I started to do all these things I never knew were going to be possible. And in the process, they really healed me in my own. They were my own form of spirituality and healing, and just learning how to be in relationship with horses and that level of trust, and how they reflect back so much to you, what's going on inside of you. It then led me to like get to the point where just this past fall, 2023, we did a equine facilitated retreat So equinus horses, a horse retreat at Miraval, which is a really world-class resort in Tucson. So it was the first time in my life that I brought together my work and helping people to give themselves more permission to be human, to understand their values, and merge that with horses. So it was this experience of like, oh my gosh, I can bring these two worlds together. Look at this. Look at how beautiful this is. Because I run retreats and group coaching experiences and things like that. And it was like, okay, it's time for me to start weaving in the cowgirl side, even if it's not necessarily moving cows, but the relationship with horses. And in that process, in the last couple of years, it actually was the pandemic that I had this experience where I really felt like, all right, my retirement dream. So many years from now, 20, 30 years from now, my vision was to live out on this property, which I knew I would be inheriting. So that was like, that's when that would happen. When I inherited the land, I would go out there and retire and enjoy this experience out west. And the pandemic made me realize, like, what am I waiting for? Why am I creating these conditions in which I have to have had XYZ happen in order to be a responsible enough person to live out west, and without internet, without cell phone reception. Like, how can you be a responsible entrepreneur and do that? And while it hasn't come like quickly or easily from a sense of learning how to pivot our business, learning how to live off it, learning how to just get water to our property because we literally have to manually bring it in from a spring that's 5 miles away. Like all of these things that I never, never, ever thought that we would be doing until we were retired is now our life. And so I'm really happy to say that 2 years ago, in July, we bought our tiny home and it's on this ranch, this beautiful ranch. And then we've been going for a little bit, like a month here, a month there. And this year will be our first year going out for 7 or 8 months, and really doing it, going full in. Renting our house out here in Baltimore and learning, learning while doing it, not waiting for all the conditions to be perfect, but rather figuring out how to work with the conditions that you have to make them perfectly imperfect.
Wow, that is so exciting. And so just, I mean, the pandemic had an effect on everyone, certainly, but allowing you the opportunity or providing you with the opportunity to just wake up and recognize that what are you waiting for? I mean, that's a lot, that a big lesson that we can all take into our hearts is understanding that the future's not promised, like, right, living in the present. What can I do now to fulfill myself and my life and my dreams and my values? And like, I can take that chance. I can be a risk taker and I can take it and see what happens and move forward. And now you're at the process where you are going out for 7 to 8 months. You've learned so much about yourself, and I've been able to follow your journey, which is just beautiful to see. And it is gives yourself, I mean, you're living in your humanism, right? You're living, giving yourself permission to be human, which is a great segue into talking about like your impactful book, Permission to Be Human, because as I can only speak for myself, but as someone who is grown up people pleasing and seeking outside validation and wondering what others are thinking of me and coming into the path of self-awareness and spirituality and understanding myself, it is really key to give myself that permission to be who I am, to stand in my truth and in my values and who I am. And your book does just that. So please talk about your book, and I'd love for you, if you would, to say your pledge, because I think that is just so great for others to hear, because it does really, I just feel it in my body whenever I hear it. So go ahead, talk about what led you to create this book. I mean, it's been in you, right? And
Well, it was the pandemic, once again, the pandemic, right? Because it was years and years and years that I was saying, oh, I'm going to write a book about this. I'm going to write a book about this. So, for the majority of my work, when I started Spark Vision, I was going into companies and helping them to understand what their values were, and then learning what needs to happen to lessen the gap between these being just words on a wall versus behaviors that are experienced on a daily basis. And so, I had a process and a system and a framework for doing this that was really intuitive for me. It just made sense to me. It's kind of like when I, was getting these like global awards for innovation, and I'm like, this is just kind of common sense. So that's when you know it's your gift if you're hearing this. If it feels like common sense to you and not to anybody else, that is a gift, and that is something that you can build a life around if should you choose, if it gives you that energy back. And so I knew that I was not going to be in the workplace for my entire career in my business. I knew I really wanted to work with the individuals that could be the influencers and decision makers versus the entire institution. So I was doing this work with like entire hospital systems, entire higher education systems. These are like hundreds, if not thousands, of employees. And so it's a huge undertaking to do that. However, even though I knew that I wasn't going to do that forever, I knew that I wanted somebody else to be able to do this with or without me. And so that's where the book came from. It was like, what would I have wanted when I was in a place of feeling totally alone, feeling like nobody else understood me or the human experience, and that this is something that could not only be a step-by-step guide, but something to nurture that person who is feeling like the underdog for caring about people too much at work. Right. And so permission to be human is the conscious leader's guide to creating a values-driven culture. So it's all about first understanding your own values, being able to understand what makes you feel an authentic self of aliveness, right? What is your belief system that's authentically yours, right? Not the ones that other people domesticated into you, but what is it that gives you that rejuvenation because simply because you activate those values? We've talked about unity with nature a lot in this conversation already. It's like my number one core value. Whenever I can be in unity with nature, I'm going to feel rejuvenated and alive. Hence the cowgirling stuff, right? Hence all of that, choosing a life that is completely in alignment with that. When it comes to your business or your work, it can feel a little bit different, but it's actually not because we're just humans put in a different environment. So the process of writing the book was to give either an individual, a one person, like a solopreneur who wants to really do this for their company, to have that guide to be able to make that happen for themselves, or if it's somebody who's a leader within their organization, especially people that are leading culture change efforts, that they can feel like they have the support in the process of doing that. And so, I'm very, very, very grateful for the people that I hear from every week from all over the world who have read the book and felt less alone and felt supported and guided as a result of that. That was always my hope. It was just like, if one person gets something from this, then this would be worth it. So that feels really great. And yeah, the permission to be human pledge has been a huge part of my own personal journey, which is right in the introduction of the book, actually. Which I'm happy to say with you right now, unless there was anything you wanted to say before I dive in.
No, I would love for you to share that. I think it's something that will hit people right where they need to hear it.
Yeah. So if you're watching the video on YouTube, you may or may not be able to read the pledge. I just have it out up so you could see it if you wanted to take a little out of it. I also do live guided meditations around this pledge regularly on Insight Timer. I also have recordings of it on YouTube. If anybody wants to go into a deeper practice beyond this, please know that. So, Allison, can I just lead you in a little practice here? How would that feel?
That would be amazing. I would love it.
Okay, so let's like just take a moment to roll our necks, our shoulders, our wrists, ankles, and whoever's listening, please feel free to join us if you're in a safe place to do that. And on your next inhale, you can bring your hand to your heart space. If you can feel your heart better, the beating of your heart better from your neck or from your wrist, please just connect with your pulse. One of the reasons I really love to connect with my heart when I'm doing this permission to be human pledge is that it's an opportunity to remember that it's coming from the heart. This is coming from our heart. Our values live in our heart. All right, so I invite you to either repeat the words to yourself in your mind or simply allow them to wash over you. It's your choice. But whatever you choose, just allow them to sink in and to see what comes up for you without judgment. Just self-awareness, self-compassion, and self-care. So here we go. Let's begin. I promise to honor what makes me perfectly imperfect. I promise to meet myself where I am, not where I want to be. I promise to suspend judgment and ignite compassion. I promise to set healthy boundaries to protect my energy. I promise to prioritize my well-being by embodying my values. And in doing so, I promise to give myself and others permission to be human. You can take a big breath here, holding it as long as you can at the top, and then a big exhalation out. When you're ready, you can release and come back. See what resonated with you. How did it land with you today, Allison?
I am emotional. So it resonated quite deeply. And every time I hear those words, it does hit me and resonate. And I'm just so grateful that we've been able to come together and that you have been able to share this with those who are called to listen. And it really does hit. So thank you so much. as tears are coming down and I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right? Because we so rarely give ourselves permission to be human. We're really good at giving other people permission to be human, right? Particularly if you're somebody who has the values of empathy, right? Vulnerability, empathy, authenticity, connection, those kinds of values. Like, it's really possibly very easy for you to let other people feel comforted and supported and loved when they're not at their best. But when you're not at your best, oftentimes you probably beat yourself up about it, right? Or judge yourself for it, or put yourself in a place of comparison. And so it creates this really unfortunate experience where we only allow ourselves to be loved or loving or, you know, feel whole and complete if we're perfect. And it's just there's no such thing, right? That's why I love perfect imperfections, like that we really are perfectly imperfect every day and every moment. So I actually have this like physical pledge in my mirror. I haven't memorized at this point, but every morning when I brush my teeth, I recite it to myself because it's a part of me practicing this and remembering that I might have written this pledge. I may have written a whole book about this, but I still need a daily reminder because it is not something that you set it and forget it. It is a daily practice of remembering that you do have permission to be human.
You do. And speaking about spirituality as we've done and our values, certainly as we've done, like it really brings you into like this grounded, I am here in this body, in this earth, this is who I am. And it allows you that space to give yourself permission to just be in that place. Because when you're on a spiritual path, you tend to sometimes find places where you just want to be in the spirit and you just want to be with your guides and you just want to be like out and up there and like not like grounded here. But this really brings you back to being grounded and being here and living in who you are and living in your truth. So thank you so much for sharing that. That is just a great way to come full circle and end our conversation. I'll be sure to put in the show notes ways for folks to connect with you. I invite everyone to get into or sign up for Mary Beth and James email list because they really provide these beautiful emails and links to their course, Knowing and Living in Your Values, that you can access and tune into Insight Timer to, you know, find the different places that you can access the work that both Mary Beth and James are doing in their company. And yeah, I'm just so blessed to be here. Any final things that you feel called that you want to share with anyone who is called to listen to this?
Yeah, a couple things. One, if you are listening to this and you were like Allison and you're like, I didn't even know about values. Like, I don't even know what's the first step in understanding what my values are. I encourage you to check out, we have a free quiz, corevaluesquiz.com. It'll send you almost immediately a values profile. That's an amazing starting point. It's a starting point. It's not the ending point. a starting point for understanding what are your authentic core values, because one of the things that I've learned that I really hope people understand after they start to harness their values for good is that you're not drained from doing too much. It's because you're doing too little of what reflects your values. And so when you are in alignment with your values, you have this authentic rejuvenation, this authentic energy, this authentic sense of purpose and aliveness and well-being. And that is what we're all meant to do with our lives. A lot of times there's a big conversation about purpose and our why, and it can be really overwhelming and actually like make people feel really bad because it's like, I haven't figured out what my purpose is. I'm a failure as a human. Well, I truly believe that we all actually have the exact same purpose to be a vessel of love and light and possibility. And the way that we have a unique purpose is by doing that through our values, right? So when you can really understand what your values are and choose them on purpose, especially in the face of other people judging you, when you can really do that, that is when you are living in your purpose and fulfilling your destiny. And you know because you feel it from the inside.
So wonderful. I can't wait to listen to this over and over again and for folks to be able to listen to it too. If you are listening, be sure to like, subscribe, share, follow, all of the things to help this medium grow and reach more light workers and those who are on their spiritual path and on their fertility journey, whether that's being motherly fertility journey, but also on their fertility journey to birth new creations, to transform, to rebirth, to go through all of the things that help bring awareness to yourself as a human and to you as a divine spiritual creature, but also to bring self-awareness to your values and what you stand for, you personally, not what anybody else thinks. I think that's a reoccurring theme. All right, thank you so much, Mary Beth.
Thank you, Allison.